I'm dreaming, less is all name.
Good evening, everyone. Good to be back in the house of the Lord. I sure enjoyed the special singing, just the quality of the young people. I just really appreciate that. I always look at the quality, not only the voices, but the quality. Maybe just to kind of get my butterflies all going in the same direction, we'll sing a little song. I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high. I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. I will raise the heavenly anthem in the city, in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. Oh, how I will shout and how I will sing when the redeemed are gathered. When the redeemed, oh, when the redeemed are gathered in, washed like snow and free from all sin. Oh, how I will shout and how I will sing when the redeemed are gathered. Then the Savior will give orders. Then the Savior will give orders. Prepare the banquet for when the redeemed are gathering in. And we'll hear his anthem, come ye blessed of the Lord. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Wash like snow and free from all sin. Oh, how I will shout and how I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Hallelujah. Looking for that hour. But you know, there's a gathering together now around the Word of God. Only those that have gathered around the revealed Word for this hour will be in that gathering. We're going to remain standing as we turn to Romans 8. I also want to read in Ephesians 1. I thought Brother Derek was going to start taking my text, and I thought, well, maybe just go right ahead and preach. Romans 1, let's read from verse 14. Romans 8, rather. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Drop down to verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth in travail, and travaileth rather, in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. A couple of verses in Ephesians 1. was talking about the adoption. Let's read verse 4 and 5. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we've read your word, and we are asking you to come and break the bread now. Lord, give us spiritual understanding of your word. We commit this service into your hand in Jesus Christ's name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Turn around and shake hands with somebody close to you. Wish them God's blessing. Don't walk away too far. You may be seated. I'm always afraid to, when I say shake hands with one another in Africa, because it takes about half an hour for them to get sitting down again. God bless you. You may be seated. Feel a good atmosphere here this evening. Enjoyed the singing, like I said, and now we come to this part. This evening we want to deal with the believer's position in Christ. And Paul, writing to the Ephesians, said that the believers were predestinated unto the adoption. And he also told the Romans, in Romans, the early church, that they had received the spirit of adoption. Now, I have no preamble. I'm getting right into the word here. They had received the spirit of adoption, and they were groaning within themselves, the early church, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of their bodies. We are now living in the time of adoption. I don't believe we're so much waiting for the adoption now. We are living in the time of adoption. This is the adoption age. Amen. We have received an adoption message. How many will agree with that? Hallelujah. And so this is the age of full redemption. And it will climax in a body change. This message will produce a body change. We want to look at the believer's position in Christ, like I said this evening, and the authority that God's children have as joint heirs with Christ. We read that the whole earth is groaning and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know, many scholars put the manifestation of the sons of God way off in the future. I've heard some of them, they put it way off into the millennium. That's when the sons of God are going to be manifested. Brother Branham made it very clear that this is the day of the manifestation of the sons of God. I want to just back that up with some quotes. I always like to do that. It's not that you don't believe, but that then you can say amen. Manifested sons of God, Brother Branham says this: we are living in the last days, the top of the pyramid, the cross fishers, the Cancer age, and the zodiac, in the time of the coming of Leo the lion, the capping stone, in the days of the manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. We see where we're at. We're right at the end. In Serpent Seed, he says this: the reason God is opening these things up to us, God is bringing his sons into manifestation. He's going beyond the limitations of any human knowledge, way into the spiritual revelation and bringing it down. Position in Christ. But this is the day of the manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. When the mysteries that has been hid since the foundation of the world has been made known, this is the hour. And then one more. Tell me, sister, when was there a time that the sons of God was ever to be manifested out of this time now? It had to wait till this time. So this is the hour. God was using the prophet to show us the age that we were living in. We're living in the time of the manifestation of the sons of God. And he was trying to show us who we really are. The same as in Christ is the mystery of God revealed, he was showing us what the new birth is. Amen. Some said when you shout, you've got the new birth. Some say, well, when you speak in tongues. How many here were raised in a Pentecostal setting? Well, you know that's what they taught. If you speak in tongues, then you had the Holy Ghost, and that was the new birth. Amen. And some say, well, when you go to a certain church, you've got it. Brother Branham makes it very plain. In Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He said, what is the new birth? You say, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. You might sit in a church where the pastor preaches nothing but the word, but you still need that personal experience. What is the new birth? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Amen. Not I joined church, I shook hands, I did something different, I said a creed. Amen. I live by a code of rules, but it is he is the word that was revealed to you. No matter what anyone says, what takes place is Christ. Priest, pastor, whatever it will be, it's Christ. That's the revelation that the church is built upon. The new birth is Christ. The new birth is Christ is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that is the new birth. Amen. And what are you going to do when you get all that group together where the revelation is so perfectly in harmony? I believe we're getting so close to this. Where when you get that whole group together and God expressing himself by his word, by his actions, the same as he did, making his word manifest. Oh, if the church only knew its position. One day it will. And then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. Amen. When you really recognize who you are, and that's why the messages are coming the way they're coming, God is trying to show us who we really are. Hallelujah. The devil doesn't want you to know who you are. Amen. So what the new birth is, the devil is so busy doing everything he can to stop you from recognizing who you really are, from recognizing your position and the authority that you have as a joint heir with Jesus Christ, trying to keep you all torn up. Or is this just does this only happen in Canada? The devil is busy trying to get you to not recognize who you are, keep you all torn up with problems. On the job, at home, with the children, problems in the church, problem with believers, marriage problems. Nope. Oh, Brother Derek, you don't have no marriage problems here. Well, what a wonderful group of people. Amen. That's so nice. But you see, the devil, and he'll use anything. He'll use finances, amen, to keep you from recognizing who you really are. Amen. So that you will not know your real purpose or your position, to stop you from reaching your full potential, to keep you out of your inheritance. Amen. We need to catch a fresh revelation, and that's why God sets these kind of meetings together. God put it on our brother's heart. We'll get into that later. But we need to, God uses these meetings like that so we can catch a fresh revelation of our position as word-born sons and daughters of God and the authority that God has given us as his children. When you begin to recognize who you are, amen, then instead of the devil doing damage to us, then we can do damage to the kingdom of Satan. Amen. When we all work together, we can do great damage to the kingdom of Satan. Brother Bam said the demons tremble when the anointed word is being preached. Hallelujah. I want to deal with two basic thoughts tonight. Recognizing who you are, the position that you have in Christ, the authority, the power that you have in prayer. And secondly, to prove that God only works on earth through man. Through his body. Hallelujah. The Bible said, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. God only works through the members of his blood-washed, sanctified, amen, word-born, Holy Ghost-filled children. That's why I appreciate what Brother Derek said here. You know, no matter how sincere you are when you come to the front, amen, you've got to feed that experience. You've got to go on to receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've seen many people raise their hands. I've seen many kids and have a genuine experience, but if you don't feed that with the Holy Spirit, if you don't feed that with the Word of God, after a while you start getting lax again. So God only works in and through His redeemed body on earth. Paul said, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We could spend a series on that, but I just want to take about an hour if I have that much time. Amen. And just lay out what some of these things mean. Joint heirs simply means that everything that belongs, you believe you're a joint heir with Christ? What does it mean to you? Everything joint heir means, it simply means everything that belongs to Christ belongs to you. Everything that belongs to me belongs to my wife. You try to sell a house without your wife's signature. Amen. Everything that Christ purchased at Calvary belongs to you. Joint heirs. It's a partnership. Amen. So it's. I know it's hard for us as sinners saved by grace and still making mistakes that to fully appreciate all that Calvary has bought for us. All that Adam lost in the fall was redeemed by Christ. Amen. The title deed to eternal life, the dominion, the position, the fellowship, the sonship, the godship, the father-son relationship was all redemption, bought everything back that Adam lost. God could not just give it back. Are you with me? God could not just give it back. A son had lost it, and the son, another son, had to pay for it, pay the price to make redemption's claim, amen, to be able to take the book, because it was not just your name was on that title deed that Adam lost. Your name was in that book. That's why it's such an important book. Amen. It was a title deed to eternal life, and so the scripture said in Romans, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, many are made righteous. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. God uses man. So God does nothing outside of man. I've got a lot of quotes here this evening. Is that all right? We're okay. The reason that God does nothing outside of man, He always works through man because He had to use a man, and man is what He used to display His attribute of Savior. Then He goes back to Adam. He had made him in His image, make him something like him to put him on, and put him on free moral agency and let him act any way he wanted to. He could make his choice. He knew that man, by giving him a choice, would fall. Your free moral agency took you away from God. God knew that giving man a choice, that he would fall. So being that he did that, he turns back around and makes a man a partner with him. He does nothing except he does it through man. Amen. The whole work of redemption come by man. Hallelujah. He said, death come by the first man. Life came by the second Adam. Amen. He does nothing outside of man. So everything that Adam lost has been redeemed. If we believe that Revelation 10 has been fulfilled, then the very book of redemption that Adam lost, that title deed, is back on earth. The mighty angel came down. Where is the book now? The mighty angel came down with the open book. It is not in the hands of the mighty angel anymore. It is not in the hands of the seventh angel anymore. It is in the bride. Hallelujah. John was told, take the book. Eat the book. I like that one. Amen. We need to recognize what this great plan of redemption has made us. We are heirs of God, joint heirs with God. And if you are a joint heir with Christ, it gives you a lot of benefits. It gives you a lot of privilege. You know what I believe? I believe we as message believers live way below our God-given privileges, below our God-given rights. But it also gives us a great responsibility. If you're a joint heir with Christ, it also gives you a great responsibility as partners with Christ to fulfill our part. Amen. To make the right decisions, to make the right choices, to judge things correctly. We are always waiting for God to do something. Isn't that true? And God is waiting for us. You remember Brother Bam telling the story one time of this child that was hideously sick, and they his tongue was hanging out, this little, I think about 18-year-old child, and they had to put a tie around to even keep his mouth shut. And Brother Bam said, "I couldn't stand it." And he's talking to God, and he said, "Oh God," he said, "what a terrible thing. What are you going to do about it?" And God spoke to him and said, "I was waiting to see what you were going to do about it." And he prayed for the child, and the child was healed. We're always waiting for God to do something, and God is waiting for us. Amen. God only works on earth through his body. God is depending on our faith in his word to carry out what the word says. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say," in John 14, "verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." See, well, that was for Brother Branham. Well, just wait. "And whatsoever ye ask in my name," this is going beyond a prophet, "whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything," that leaves nothing out, "if you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Hallelujah. So if we only realize, and that's what my objective is tonight, to get us to realize who we are and how powerful our choices are, and if we only realize how much depends on us, how much depends on our prayers, on our decisions, on our choices, you know, I believe we would take prayer more serious if we realized how important it really was. But you see, we have the idea, and I'm just speaking general, maybe some of you don't, but we have the idea that whatever will be, and God is going to do whatever he has planned to do, and it's just nothing's going to change it. There's really no use us praying, because God's agenda is not going to be affected by our prayers. And so many Christians don't really seriously pray because they really don't think that it makes much difference. And we're not excluded in the message just because we have a message tag. This is the thinking, but that kind of thinking, if you've ever had that thinking, God's just going to do whatever he's going to do, and you know, we can get so extreme on predestination that it's actually fatalism. But you see, we have this idea that, you know, that really doesn't make much difference, you know, but let me just tell you, that does not fit God's word. That kind of thinking does not fit the word of God. God told Abraham, watch this example. God told Abraham, "Your seed will sojourn in a strange land for 400 years, and I will bring them out by a mighty hand." But God would not fulfill that word that he had promised until the people started crying out to God, until the people started praying. And then in Exodus 3, God came down and appeared to Moses in a burning bush, and he said, "I have heard the cries of my people by reason of their taskmasters, and I am come down to deliver them, but I'm sending you, Moses." God only uses man, but the point was God did not do anything to fulfill his promise until the people started crying out to God. Amen. When God's people really started praying, it brought God on the scene. If there's anything that we as believers in the bride are slack in, it's communicating with God. If there's anything that we are slack in, it's prayer. We know more than any other age before us. Amen. Moses took us back to the beginning. Amen. To creation, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. John, in the New Testament, starts there too. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. And the Word was made flesh. The apostles referred back to the Old Testament patriarchs and the prophets. But Brother Branham took us back before God was even God. Brother Branham took us back before the beginning and told us what God was thinking in the back part of his mind. Amen. We know more than any other age did before us. Amen. We know the mysteries. We know what the seven seals are. We know who the seven stars in Revelations are. We could ask probably an 8-year-old and they'll tell you who the messengers are. We know the mysteries of the seven thunders contained in the seven seals. We know what the original sin was. We know the revelation of marriage and divorce. We know who the Antichrist is. We know what the image of the beast is. But what we really need to know is who we are. Who we are and the authority that we have before God in prayer and in carrying out God's plan for our day. We are partners. We are heirs with Christ. You know, God told Abraham, Moses, I am come down to deliver the children of Israel, and I'm sending you. Now, God is sovereign. God could have supernaturally, just by instinct, got them moving one day. He does it to birds. They have enough sense. But God's sense, in Canada, when it gets cold, they go south. Then when it warms up again, they're coming back. My wife said the robins are back. They just come back since I left. It's just as warm back home as it is here now because we've got spring coming. But one of my point is, God could have supernaturally just put something in them and they started marching. Or he could have just said an angel. But he chose a man. He raised up a man by the name of Moses, trained him for the deliverance. Brother Branham said, God dwelling one time, God above us, then in Christ, God with us. Now God in us. It's God working his way back into man to be worshipped. Amen. God's agency. God does nothing. How much is that? Zero. God does nothing outside of man being his helper, his agent. You want your little child to do something for you, you know, you mothers. You say, oh, you're mama's little helper. Yeah. Then they get ready to work. But you see, so Brother Branham said, we are God's agent, his helper. Hallelujah. I just want to show you how important this is. God has such a relationship with a partnership with Abraham that he wouldn't even destroy Sodom and Gomorrah without discussing it with Abraham first. Can I keep this thing from Abraham, seeing he's going to be the heir of the world? You remember the scripture? Did you know that God said nothing? I challenge you preachers. God said nothing about saving Lot and his family. Amen. That was a result of Abraham interceding for Lot and for his loved ones. It wasn't God's idea to save Lot. It was Abraham's idea, his partner on earth. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? You remember? Peradventure there be 50 within the city. Wilt thou destroy them and spare the place for the 50 righteous therein? Far be it from thee to do after this manner and slay the righteous with the wicked. This is Abraham speaking to God. Oh, said God, you wouldn't do that, would you now? And far be it from you to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, after he interceded, the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous in the city, then I will spare the place for their sake. Then Abraham thought, oh, I don't know if there's 50. What if there's five short? God said, I'll spare it. Let me come one more time. He said, what if there's 30? Maybe he'd been shopping, and I don't think he did, but maybe he'd been shopping there and saw there was a bunch of perverts and there was no reality there. He did, so he said he dwindled it right down to 10. And God said, if I find 10. But my point is, it wasn't God's idea. It was Abraham's idea, interceding for Lot that wasn't even elect. He was just a nominal church member. Hallelujah. Let me just read another one here. Identified Christ of all ages, 1964. Remember, you're identified by your characteristics. God is identified. He cannot change. He said in Malachi 4, I am God and I change not. He absolutely doesn't change. His characteristics are the same. Each time he appeared on earth at the end of an age, he always sent a man and anointed him with the Holy Ghost, Christ. The Holy Ghost is Christ, the anointed, the Logos that went out, and it comes to identify the words of that age. The word of the Lord always comes to the prophets, the Bible said, and it identifies that age. He does nothing outside of man. I want to show you how God is tied to his own word. God is totally tied to his own word. God could not fulfill, you remember, God does nothing outside of man. Did you know that God could not fulfill Revelations 10, 1 through 7 without Brother Branham? God could not fulfill Luke 17, 30, the revealing of the Son of Man, without the seventh church age messenger. Christ the mighty angel could not come down with the open book and reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders contained in the seven seals until God's prophet was here. You see how God is tied to his own word and he only uses man? God couldn't, the mighty angel could not come down until God's prophet was here, not only on earth, but he had to already be in position. Amen. In position to bring the people the message, which meant he had to first spearhead the healing revival, right? And then fulfill first and second pull, which prepared the people for the third pull, the opening of the word. God could not just fulfill it without the prophet being here. God uses man. And I want to show to you, you see, we have this idea that Brother Branham was just a robot, that he had no feelings, that just whatever, you know, that he just moved around like this. Did you know that God did not force Brother Branham to preach this strict holiness message? God did not force him to condemn sins and condemn Jezebels and condemn denominations. He chose to do that himself. You remember where Danny Henry, the, Brother Branham here reads the what Danny Henry prophesied over him or spoke in tongues and somebody else interpreted. Watch this. He said this was spoken to, that he reads, this was spoken to Brother Branham in February 11th, 1961 at the Full Gospel Businessman Breakfast. Because thou hast chosen the narrow path. God didn't force him. God's not going to force you young people to do what Brother Derek just said. You have to choose to do it. God, he said, because, and remember, this is God speaking. This is not Brother Branham speaking. This is God speaking to him by prophecy. Because thou hast chosen the narrow path, the harder way, thou hast walked of thine own choosing. I can understand that, he said. Moses did of his too. I didn't have to do that. I could have maybe had big meetings and things, big flowery things too. Too, like Oral Roberts. Like some of those brethren. He said, but this is the way I have desired. Thou hast walked of thine own choosing. Thou hast picked the correct and precise decision. And this is my way. because of this momentous decision, a huge portion of heaven awaits thee. That's in the vision here. You'll get it. I don't. He knows nothing about it then. What a glorious decision thou hast made. Here is something I don't understand, he said. This is that which will give and come to pass the tremendous victory in the love divine. Hallelujah. Because of a decision that Brother Branham made, a huge portion of heaven would await him. You see, Brother Branham's decision affected millions of lives. It affected your life. The reason we are here this evening is because of a decision that Brother Branham made to preach this holiness message. It's hard for us to realize that God needs us. You know, just worms as we are, it's hard for us to realize that God needs us, but that's the way God planned it. That is His program. How many can see that by now? That's God's program. Because we are a part of God, we are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. God, because of that, God wants you to have part in what He has already predestinated to happen. God wants you to have a part in His predestinated plan. Amen. Salvation, like salvation, He already knows who's going to be saved. How many believe that? Maybe I'm extreme on predestination, but I believe that God put our names on the family album before the foundation of the world, sent Jesus Christ to redeem those names. Hallelujah. We read, He already knows. Let me just read something to you here out of Romans. Wrong. How then shall they call on Him on whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. Amen. So they can, yet they can only be saved through a preacher, through preaching. That preaching is God's program. So Brother Branham, in the new ministry message, he's talking about God, that God foreknew us before the foundation of the world, and knew who would be saved, put our names on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And then he says this, well, you say, well, if He knows, then why are you preaching? If He already knows He's going to be saved, that's good reasoning. But we don't reason. Amen. He said, if he knows, then, well, why are you preaching? That's God's program. Preaching is His program. The Bible says, by the foolishness of preaching, it looks foolish to the world why somebody would stand up and tell you things you already know. Because I can't tell you nothing you don't already know. You got access to the same message I have. And I'm actually glad for it. That way you know whether I'm preaching the truth or not. So he says, preaching is God's program. Then he looked upon the apostles. He looked upon the harvest, Jesus. And he said, the harvest is ripe. The laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that He will send laborers into the harvest. How many remember that? He says, why would they have to pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest if the Lord of the harvest was standing right there knowing it would be done? Watch what he says. God has it so arranged that His program cannot move without you and I. I didn't plan it. Brother Derek didn't plan it. Brother Spencer didn't plan it. God has it so designed, so planned, that His program cannot move without you and I. And as long, watch this now, as long as we're not doing what God leads us to do, we are paralyzing His program. You've heard people say something, I felt led to do something. Did you do it? No, I didn't. You've heard that. God put it on Brother Derek's heart to have this convention. What if he would have said, well, it costs too much. I don't know about the Hildebrand anyway. I don't want him to preach here anyway. You know, but you know, he just said, well, I don't know. But I feel it on my heart to do it, but you know, there's so much work, and I'm not putting our church through that again. That's how I think sometimes. Amen. Did you know if he would have done that, if he would have, God put it on his heart, and he would have not had this meeting, Brother Derek Donaldson would have been paralyzing the program of God. I believe this meeting was ordered of God. But Brother Branham says, but when the church moves by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, then they are in God's will doing his program. Hallelujah. It's hard for us to think that our actions could affect God's program, isn't it? Surely God doesn't need me. You see, God's program doesn't depend on me. You see what Brother Branham said in God perfecting his church? He said, we forget who we are. Watch this. We forget who we are. He's talking about the Pentecostals first here. They think, I don't know, oh brother, you that's born again, sons and daughters of God. Is that talking to you? You born again, sons and daughters of God, co-equal with Jesus Christ in his presence. Brother Branham said, you are co-equal with Jesus Christ in his presence. And then he goes on to say, oh, that makes the devil angry when you let the church know who they are. You can imagine he's mad right now. He'd like to disturb you right now because he's angry when you let the people know who they are, that they're actually co-equal with Jesus Christ in his presence. How many believe what the prophet said is the word of God? Hallelujah. Amen. Sons and daughters of God, if you let them know who they are and the rights they have, the God-given rights. Amen. Who has the most power before God? An angel? An angel? He's a servant. Is that right? He said, we are sons and daughters. Who has the most power in heaven? A sinner that's saved by grace, or an archangel standing right by his side? Who has more authority? Of course we would think, well, of course the archangel. That's not what the prophet said. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, he's the sinner that's saved by grace. Maybe that sinner that came here this morning has more, the sinner that's saved by grace has more power in heaven than the archangel that stood without sin. He's a son. He's got more authority than, of course. Oh, we forget who we are. Then many times we forget what made us what we are. After we become what we are, then we forget how we got there. Just think of this. An archangel never sinned, never saw a dirty movie, never smoked, never did drugs, never lusted, never did anything, but yet a sinner saved by grace is greater in the presence of God than an archangel. Just like, you know, I can just to demonstrate this, maybe God and the archangel Wormwood are having a discussion about destroying the world. And they're in deep discussion, different stages of it, and all of a sudden God says, just a minute. Sister Murray wants to talk to me. Step aside, archangel. Sister Murray wants to talk to me. You have more authority before God than an archangel. But we forget who we are, Brother Bram said, and we forget what made us what we are, and we forget how we got there. The only thing that hinders us from receiving all the benefits and blessings from God is unbelief. Is unbelief. Not really believing that it's for you. You say, well, I don't know if God loves me. I made a mistake yesterday. What about today? That's got nothing to do with it. There's a blood covering for you. Hallelujah. We'll get into that later. There's some things, power of decision. Power of decision. Brother Branham says, do you know that there are some things that we have to do that God cannot do until we do it? Did you know that? The ministry, look, we are the branches, he is the vine. But the vine can't bear the fruit It's the branches that bear the fruit. Is that right? He furnishes the energy, but we've got to do the job. Now, here was Jesus standing, looking upon the harvest. Do you believe he was the Lord of the harvest? He looked upon the harvest and he said, "You pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest, because the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few." In other words, you ask me to do what I know's got to be done. He could not do it until they asked him to do it. You didn't expect this kind of a message, but here it comes anyhow. God wants you to know who you are and the authority that we have. We need to recognize the authority God has placed in us as believers. In many things, we have a choice in life. Brother Branham chose to preach the message that he did. You know, many times our decisions dictate our destiny. By your words, the Bible said, you'll be justified, and by your words, you'll be condemned. If we could only recognize our place before God, we would not allow the devil to push us around. If we could recognize our authority, that's what my motive is of preaching this, so you'll know who you are, you'll walk out of here, say, "Back up, devil." Or like Brother Donnie Reagan would say, "Dumb devil, get out of the way." But God wants you to know who you are. Amen. If we recognize our place before God, we wouldn't let the devil push it around. We wouldn't allow the devil to wreak havoc among our families, our home, our children. You know, the children out of control and homes out of control, marriages out of control. As a son of God, you have authority to change the situation, to change the atmosphere in the home. Our brother was talking about atmosphere, how you can create an atmosphere. You want to tell your wife that she's the ugliest person you ever saw, that would create quite an atmosphere in a hurry. But I want to use the opposite example. Amen. Brother Branham said that we are amateur gods. Amen. We can create an atmosphere. And so one time Brother Branham came home, you'll remember the story. He came home, everything was out of order. His home was out of order. His children were fighting. Sister Mita was crying. She said, there's been people in the house all day, and I have had no chance to cook, no chance to clean up." She was a fanatic for cleaning things up. I shouldn't say the word fanatic, you know. You forgive me for that. But Brother Branham, it refers to that. And so she was crying. Everything was, the whole atmosphere was upset. And so Brother Branham did not come on the scene and say, "Woman, I'm the prophet of God. Shape up. Quit crying. Children, shut up." Oh, that's no way to create the atmosphere, to change the atmosphere in the home. Amen. But he put on an apron. Woo. We're too macho for that. He put on an apron. Tied an apron around him and started trying to soothe her down and started praying. Just a quiet lady, just to himself. And he just started washing the dishes and said, "Mita, I was across the street, across the city there in Kentucky, there in Louisville, I believe it was." He said, "There was a nice little dress or whatever it was, and oh, I don't have time to think about dresses and things like that." She said, "Oh, but I think you'd like it." Lord, calm her, and she put her hand on her. You know, women kind of refer to, they kind of respond to touch, in case you guys didn't know. So he just kept praying and kept working and praying. After a while, the children started to stop fussing. What was he doing? Creating an atmosphere. We are sons of God, creators of atmosphere. Amen. His children started playing nice, and his wife kind of sucked up her tears, and she said, "Do you suppose the store would still be open?" Amen. God made men to take control over situations, to be the head of the home, to take authority. But in order for that law to work, you've got to be under the headship of the Word yourself. Amen. You've got to be under the headship of the anointed Word in subjection to the order of the Lord. How many believe that, what I just said? And I would say you've got to be under the authority of a pastor. Let me see. I was going to read here one more. Okay. Matthew 7 and verse 7 says this. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Prayer, communication. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, knocketh. Not just... Yeah, like the unjust judge. She kept bothering him. Amen. For everyone that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is among you that who hath a son that asks bread will give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will give him a serpent? So then, if ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the heavenly Father, amen, give good things to them that ask him. What's the key here? Ask. Prayer. Communication with God. Here's one, this one that just about blew my mind when I first come across this quote here. In Healing of Jairus' Daughter, Brother Branham said, we find one place where the Son of God spent much time in prayer. And if Jesus had to spend much time in prayer to stay in fellowship with the Spirit of God that was in him. Jesus spent time in prayer because he was a man. And he spent much time in prayer to stay in fellowship with the Spirit of God that was in him. Amen. He said, how much more do you and I have to spend time in prayer? Much time in prayer. If we only knew what time in prayer meant sometimes, and when you're in prayer, what God, it changes the complete destination of things that's going to happen. Do you believe that? He said something might be fixing to happen and your prayer could change the whole situation. And it goes on to talk about Hezekiah, how God changed. Prayer changed things. All right? So, Brother Branham said, prayer is the most powerful tool that God ever put in the hands of the believer. Amen. So there are thousands of people well today because somebody prayed. There are tens of thousands of people that were healed and delivered that came through Brother Branham's healing line, and they were told, you are shadowed to death. How many know what that meant? They were going to die. They were shadowed to death. He said, you cannot live unless God does a miracle. They would have died. Amen. They were healed because Brother Branham was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. What about beyond the curtain of time? When Brother Branham saw all those people and he said millions. You know, some little groups of us form no more. We got it all figured out. It was going to be such a small group. But Brother Branham saw millions. I know that was over the first, second, and third pole, I'm sure. But they were still his. He said, are these Branhams? These are your people. No, he said, these are not Branhams. These are your converts. And they begin to say, I'm not going to take time for this, but they begin to say, if you had not went, we would not be here. And we would, Brother Derek, not be here this evening if Brother Branham had not chosen the narrow way, had not yielded himself to the Holy Ghost. We would not be here this evening. God only works on earth through his body. I am the vine, you are the branches. Your prayer could change the direction your son or daughter is heading in. Your prayer for a minister, for a pastor, for a special speaker could cause him to preach on something that would bring your child to the altar. And instead of preaching to your husband, why don't you pray and God will lay something on the heart of the pastor to bring him to God. Your prayer, you mothers, could determine whether your son or daughter marries a Holy Ghost-filled believer. God only works on earth through the members of his body. Remember last night we were showing that you can only serve God as God's servants that sent on earth interpret the word to you? You remember that? Amen? And then he says, that's God's law. He said, the seed must come through the body. Now, we showed last night that the Ethiopian eunuch could not understand the Bible. It took a member of the body of Jesus Christ to take that same scripture and show him what that scripture meant. Right? The seed comes only through the body. The angel, I don't know how much time I got. All right. Okay. Did you hear what Brother Derek said? Plenty of time. Now, the angel directed Philip. The angel directed Philip, but the seed had to come through a member of the body. The angel told him what to do, where to go, but it was Philip, who was a member of the body of Christ, that brought this man to salvation. What gave Philip the faith to act? You ever thought of that? He recognized his position as a son of God, as a joint heir with Jesus Christ. The same with Peter. What gave him the authority to act? He knew his position. He had been given the keys to the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Amen. What gave Brother Branham the confidence? Have you ever thought of that? What gave Brother Branham the confidence to stand before 300 denominational preachers in the Chicago meeting when they were challenging him on his doctrine of the Godhead and the serpent seed? The thing what gave him the confidence, he knew who he was, he knew his position, and Brother Branham said in perfect faith, what gave Jesus the confidence that he had? He recognized his position. I want to read that to you though, because I want to take about 15-20 minutes on this next part. Perfect faith. Jesus relied upon what God had made him, and if he did that, can't we rely upon what God has made us, believers? How many believers here tonight? If you are a believer, God made you a believer. Can't we rely, he said, upon what God has made us, believers? Watch this now. These signs shall follow them that believe. The only thing you have to do then is have faith in what you are. Then he goes one step further. Have faith in what the Word said you are. Now the Word has a lot of good things to say about you. Your neighbors might not have a lot of good things to say about you. People in the world might call you all kinds of names, but the Word has good things to say about you. Have faith. The only thing you have to do then is have faith in what the Word says you are. Amen? The Word says I'm a joint heir. The Word says I'm a seed gene of God. The Word says that if I confess my sin, He is faithful and just to forgive my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. The Word says, and the message is the Word says I never sinned in the first place. The Word says I'm a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. The Word says He became me that I might become Him. Amen. The Word says Brother Branham said in the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 that we become the righteousness of God by our union with Jesus. Did you get it? It says that we are the very righteousness of God Himself by being in Christ. It says that Jesus became sin for us. It does not say He became sinful. He became sin for us that by our union to Him, we might become the very righteousness of God. Now, if we accept the fact, and we must, he said, that He literally became sin for us by His substitution for us, then we must also accept, now you accept that He became sin for you, right? Then if you accept that, he said, you must also accept the fact that by our union, how many are in union with Jesus? We have become the very righteousness of God Himself. To reject one is to reject the other. To accept one is to accept the other. Hallelujah. The Word says you are righteous. The Word says in Romans, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he hath also glorified. Hallelujah. Jesus said, he that heareth my word, the Word has a lot of good things to say about you. I'm just going to say use a few. The word says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life right now and is passed from death unto life and will never come into judgment but is already passed from death unto life. The Word says I am righteous. The Word says I am sinless. The Word says I am the sinless bride of the Son of the living God. The Word says I'm not just forgiven, that I'm justified. I've never done it in the first place. Glory be to the living God. Amen. Let me just see here. I got one more. In the sight of God, this is a rapture message. In the sight of God, the bride is justified. She never did it in the first place, standing there, married to the virtuous Son of God, never sinned in the first place. Why? She was foreordained. She was trapped into this. You never asked to come in hybrid bodies. She was trapped into this. Now when she heard the truth and came forth, the blood cleansed her, and she stands there virtuous, no sin on her at all. How many believe what I'm preaching? Hallelujah. The Word says, I have more authority before the Almighty God than an archangel that never sinned in the first place. The Word says, I'm a partner. The Word says, I'm a joint heir. The Word says that he hath made us kings and priests to our God. If you're a priest, You're an intercessor. You have power before God. If you're a king, you have a domain. Amen. It might be your home. It might be your church. It might be your family. One thing we can all do, we can take dominion over this flesh. Yes. Paul said, sin shall not have dominion over me. Amen. We are not under the law, but under grace. We must learn to take charge over every circumstance. Our choices, the choices we make will affect our lives. They will affect your family. They will affect your children. They could change the direction of your family, the choices you make. We make choices that affect, you know, people make choices. Oh, I think it was already said here. You know, I'm going to go and work somewhere. Is there a church there? Oh, no, but I can make more money. What good does the money do you anyhow? I believe it's time we gathered under a seasoned ministry and were fed the Word of God, not be here and there and everywhere. I believe we need, this is time to be under the Word of God. Amen. So the choices we make, I'm sure that every pastor here knows that the choices you make affects your local assembly. When you recognize who you are, you do not have to live a defeated life. Brother Bam said, the only thing you have to do then is have faith in what you are, faith in what the Word says that you are. The Word says God called me to be conformed to the image of His Son. Have you got a little more time? The Word, I never used to be so conscious of time, Brother Derek, but I'm getting more conscious of time all the time as I get older because I know my time is limited. The Word says, I want to get back to our text for a minute here. The Word says in Ephesians 1, 4 and 5, that I am predestinated unto the adoption. Predestinated. How many believe that predestinated means, you know what it means? You're predestinated to be there. Predestinated unto the adoption. And the final stage of adoption is the change of the body, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. You know what that means? You know what that really means? You're predestined unto adoption. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. God, amen. What if God was standing in this suit of clothes that he gave me, and God walked up to you and said, Brother Murray, you're going to make it. I mean, God only works on earth through the members of his body. What if God walked up to you and said, you've had a lot of struggles, but sister, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. Amen. Despite that arm injury, you're going to make it. Hallelujah. You're going to make it. You're going to make it, my brother. Amen. You are predestinated to make it. Amen. I'm showing you that if Jesus Christ could not say anything different through his servants than if he was standing here on earth, he's using me to tell you you're going to make it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Word says you're going to make it. The Word says you're going to go in the rapture. The Word says I am the rapture. The rapture is not Jesus coming. It's a bride going. How many believe we which are alive and remain shall not prevent those that are asleep? Or the Lord himself shall descend from heaven? Have you heard the shout? Amen. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. As believers, my friends, as believers, we need a better understanding of God's program. We need a better understanding of our part in God's program. Would you say amen to that? We need a better understanding of what God expects of us and our part as joint heirs, our responsibility as his agent, and the authority and power that we have in prayer as the Son of God before the throne of God. How many would like a better understanding of that? What your place actually is? Amen. And that's what faith cometh by hearing. That's why I'm showing you this. In the message, present, ever-present water from the rock. This is my last quote. Brother Branham says this. I'm just going to pick up a part of it. If there wasn't a law to it, sons and daughters would create them a world out there and go and live a private life on it. You have the power in you to do it. There's a very weak amen because we really don't believe that. I mean, God has to make this real. Brother Brown said, you have the power of God in you to do it. If you've got a shadow of the power of God in you, how many at least believe you got a shadow? Let me read it again. You have power of God to do it. If you've got a shadow of the power of God in you to do it, you have the power of God to do it. You could speak a world into existence and go and live in it. That is the power in the church now. Hallelujah. Faith cometh by hearing. That's why I'm preaching it. Amen. You have the power of God in you to do it now. But it's controlled by a law. And that law is not keeping a bunch of commandments. It's a law of faith. Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. And if you can believe it, don't miss this part here now. If you can believe it, whatever God leads your soul to believe is yours. Amen. Whatever God, if you can believe it, whatever God leads your soul to believe, God has led your soul in this during these meetings to believe on different things. Even right now, whatever God leads your soul to believe, that's yours. Every place the sole of your foot shall set upon by faith, God gives it to you. It's yours. You possess it. Now, I'm finished, but I want to wind this up. God is not leading your soul to go and create a world and go and live on it. I don't think there's anybody here that feels led to do that. But Brother Branham said, whatever God leads your soul to believe, you have the power in you right now to speak a word and go and create a place in a world and go and live on it. But he said, if you have a shadow of the Holy Ghost in you, you have the power to do it. But whatever God leads your soul to believe tonight, Whatever God leads your soul to believe tonight, God gives it to you. How many believe that? Amen. God is not leading your soul to believe to speak worlds into existence, but God is leading your soul to believe for the Holy Ghost. God is leading your soul to believe for your family. God is leading your souls to believe for a closer walk. Amen. Many things. What is your greatest desire? Amen. God is leading your soul to believe for a perfect marriage. God is leading your soul to believe for healing. God is leading your soul to believe that in this convention that you'll receive the Holy Ghost. You see? So the Bible said, the Word said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The Word is leading us to believe His promises. Let's stand together and have a word of prayer. Whatever God leads your soul to believe, the musicians can come. Whatever God leads your soul to believe, God gives it to you. How many believe that? Now, how many believe also that they shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover? Amen. Why don't we do that? Pray for one another. You pray for that person prays for you. If you have faith for that, you watch God come on the scene, and whatever you have desired, amen, God will give it to you. Whatever God leads your soul to believe, Brother Bram said, God gives it to you. Let's pray. Lay your hands on one another. Lord Jesus, we are asking in the name of Jesus Christ that you will come and presence yourself among us tonight. Lord, our hands are on one another. If there's any sick among us, may the Spirit of the living God come and move upon us. Lord, heal the sick among us. As our hands are laid upon one another, Lord, fill each one with the Holy Ghost. Lord, we are believing for great things in this convention. And we're asking, dear God, that we will begin to recognize who we really are, and the power that we have in prayer before. You said we have more power, authority before God than an archangel in the presence of Almighty God. Father, as our hands are upon one another, may the anointing of the Holy Ghost move, Lord, upon us and give us each one our heart's desire, for we ask it in the name that's above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Let's worship Him for a moment. Hallelujah! To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. Hallelujah! Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah! Do you know? You know that song? We are heirs of the Father, joint heirs of the Son. We are people of His kingdom. We are family. We are one. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. Whatever God leads your soul to believe, God gives it to you. I'm believing, I'm trusting this evening. Let me just say this. I am trusting this evening that God will bring that back to your remembrance, not just in this meeting, but when you're going through a struggle, may God bring this to your remembrance. Whatever God leads your soul to believe, God gives it to you. In our church, when Brother Spencer was in hospital, and the doctors were not expecting him even to live, and his face was scarred up, his all burned up, and you know what we believed for in our church? That he would not end up with no scar on his face. You look at his face. Whatever God leads your soul to believe, God gives it to you. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's sing a chorus. We are heirs of the Father, joint heirs with the Son. We are people of His kingdom. We are family. We are one. Hallelujah. We are heirs of the Father. Oh, we are joint. Our people of His kingdom. We are family. We are one. Oh, we are heirs. Hallelujah. are peace.